listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across
Lakey.
Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Yes, well, it turns out that COVID has now reared its ugly head in ice cream. Well, three ice creams do test positive to coronavirus.
It's all the government conspiracy, you see. They just want control over ice cream. They want to make this. This is how it starts. They'll muzzle ice cream next. You watch. There'll be masks all over ice cream. All we know, it will be ice cream will be putty in the government's hands. We talked about ice cream infected, coronavirus infected ice cream. Also, ticks and tiny nuisances after Ash Williams gets a tick on his penis. A tick on his pen. I've realised there are two things that I like to do in life. One, try and gain and have sex. And two, ruin any time my mate has sex. We talked about his sex playlist and ways to screw it up. But right now, it's a sad day. Target's loss is Kmart's gain. Target stores across the country are either shutting or changing to Kmart. Yes, the slow transition has been happening for a while, but 2021 is a big year for the marts. I know they're all owned by the same. I know it's all Wesfarmers, but you've got to go a little more micro than that, don't you? Yeah, no, this is a win for Kmart, Target. Oh, they'll be pissed. They'll be real pissed. More than 50 Target stores are expected to be closed over the coming months, whilst dozens will be converted into Kmart outlets in a major retail shakeup. Doesn't that just dig the knife right in? It's like, from Kmart's like, yeah, we've won this arm wrestle like 20 years ago. Target, Kmart, Big W, we're all the same. We've whittled you down over the years. We've won this battle. And guess what? Not only are we going to shut you down, we're going to take over your stores as well. We've won the battle and we've won the war. News of the shrinking Target estate broke last year after sales slumped by $67 million. That's a lot of millions. And Kmart, I assume, have gone from strength to strength. Around 55 Targets will be converted around Australia into Kmart stores. It comes after 16 Target outlets already went through transformations into Kmart in 2020. They're just popping up everywhere. Gone with the little Target, the little Target, and the big K makes way. That's the thing. Like, Kmart out of nowhere has just become this super mega thing. I remember 20 years ago, mum would be like, oh, back to school shoes. Should we go to Kmart? But no, no, I don't want to go to Kmart. Like, oh, Big W then, Target. Like, no, none of those. Oh, should we get a bedspread? Should we go get a lever arch file at Kmart? Like, no, no, let's go somewhere else. Now, these days, mums made Kmart big, didn't they? Ooh, you Kmart mum. Ooh, I've got a hack. I've got a Kmart hack. All these Facebook groups, mums just bounding together. Look what I've got at Kmart. Ooh, you never guess the price I paid for this at Kmart. And like some like pleb in the outskirts of the city's like, ooh, I've also got a page, Big W mums. They're like, no, no, we're going Kmart. We shop at Kmart now. Well done, Kmart. You've won the battle. You won the war. Wesfarmers, which owns both Target and Kmart, said the move was necessary to improve the commercial viability of the business. Of course, Big Corp's going to say that. The farmers have no problem with that. The actions announced reflect our continued focus on investing in Kmart, a business with a compelling customer offer and strong competitive advantages. Yes. Yes, indeed. But, I mean, most mums like Kmart. That's fine. Kmart has its place. Target has its place. Big W has its place as well. From 133353, I guess, what's the man version of Kmart? Or what's your Kmart? Maybe you don't care for Kmart like me, but there's a special store in your heart, somewhere where you can go. Because some people go to Kmart and they don't even want to like buy anything there. They'll just go, oh, I might just look at Kmart. Like, that's enough for me and Kmart. I might just go into Kmart. I might just bask in the Kmart atmosphere. And people like that. Sometimes they go to a store, they got no money on them. They got no impulse to go buy anything. But, oh, I just got to go in. I just got to go on and feel what it's about. I like what it's about. For me, it's probably a bit of JB Hi-Fi action. Yeah, that's gone from strength to strength over the years. You thought, oh, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, death of sanity. What's that going to mean for the big JB Hi-Fi? They've adapted. They've moved on. You go into a JB Hi-Fi, you're met with like a tsunami of yellow and black. You're like, oh, what's going on here? There's some MacBooks on the right side. There's some gadget you've never seen on the left. You're like, oh, shit, yeah, we're in now. There's all alternative people around with those lanyards. You're like, oh, yeah, she's pretty hot, actually. I might follow her down to the vinyl. And then you get distracted by a big screw-off 8K TV. Like, oh, this place is good. I could really get into JB. Well, maybe I should buy something from JB Hi-Fi. Yeah, that's my one. JB Hi-Fi is my Kmart. I hate to admit it, Culture Kings isn't too bad these days as well. I'd never been in Culture Kings until this holiday just been. I was thought it was like one of those gangster stores, just with like big snapbacks and gold jewelry. There's a lot of that, but there's some pretty cool gear as well. I'm a Culture Kings kind of guy. JB's where my heart lies. What's your Kmart? What's your store? You just go in. You love what it's all about. Maybe a Bunnings man. You've got an Officeworks guy out there. Maybe a BCF. Any Kathmandu creatures? Eddie in Sydney, you're a JB Hi-Fi kind of guy.
Mate, certainly am. Nothing beats going and walking through half a dozen aisles of movies because you haven't got them all on streaming services already.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, nothing beats the hard copy. Nothing beats just flicking a couple of DVDs through your fingers. The same with the vinyl as well. You didn't even get to that stage. You go through MacBook Alley. You've seen that. You've seen Windows Avenue. You've seen a couple of HPs. There's a couple of GoPros on the left. There's a hot alternative chick with black hair and pink dreads on the right. You say, where are your DVDs? You ever end up buying any? Or are you just like a flick?
If something jumps out at you that you know you haven't got on Stan, Netflix, all the other frigging streaming services that you got, then you might grab it if it's probably got a $4.99 price tag reduced from $20.99.
Yeah,
but
you're right. Yeah, it's bargain. Plus, if it's not on Netflix or Stan, you're like, oh, yeah, I think I've got $5 for that. Then you need to do a quick check. You Google. You're like, is The Godfather 2 on Hulu or not? And if it's not, well, it's a purchase straight away. It's always good fun, JB.
Absolutely.
Yeah, always alternative people there as well. It's like people who aren't quite artistic enough to be a tattoo artist always end up working at JB Hi-Fi. It's always good fun. Jeff in Linfield, New South Wales, what's your Kmart?
Hello, mate. My Kmart's BCF.
BCF and fun.
It absolutely is, mate.
Yes.
I buy all sorts of shit I don't need. I work in an office and I'm inside all the time, but you should see all the outdoor crap I've got.
Very nice. So what I like about BCF, like Kmart is sort of piggybacking off the indoor shopping centre scene. They're usually in a mall, so you're there for any other reason and it's very convenient to go to the Kmart. The BCFs are usually in industrial areas and you've definitely got to pull in like off a pretty heavy highway to get there. So that's a whole nother level of, hey, I want to get to BCF. It's not as convenient as the Kmart.
Oh, well, the problem for me is it was way too convenient. I was up the coast where my parents live, and I went there every day over Christmas. For 2 weeks, I went to BCF. There was one day I missed. I've got crab pots. I've got camp ovens. I've got these things you put a Jaffa line in the fire. I've got all sorts of sleeping bags for kids. Wow. I've got all sorts of crap I don't need.
Very nice. And, I mean, feel free to say no to this, but would you even dare rating your preferences out of boating, camping and fishing? Do you have a favourite?
Boating one, first. Camping second, fishing third.
How?
Because I like, fuck fishing, like, it's not, don't worry about fishing.
Yeah,
Catching's good. Catching's good.
Yeah.
Fishing's boring.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fishing's just an excuse to drink. It's just a reason why men go out on boats and drink.
Yeah.
It's not really a thing. But you take all that stuff with you to make it look legitimate.
Yeah, one of the great insights into a little bit of BCFing fishing psychology. Thank you, Jeff in Linfield. Shane in Rutherford, New South Wales. What's your Kmart?
My Kmart would have to be, or for many blokes, it'd have to be Bunnings.
Oh, Bunnings Warehouse, the big house, always good.
Yep.
Big dark greener, you can see it from a mile away. So you go in there with no agenda, usually. No one usually has an agenda when they go to Bunnings. You're just in there, you're sort of like, I mean, it smells a little mulchy to me. That's my only quiet. That's my only knock on Bunnings. The mulch overpowers the rest of the warehouse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just go walk in there, walk down a few of the aisles, you see stuff and you're like, that'd look good at home.
Oh,
and then you don't use it for a couple of years. And then after a while, sometimes you forget it's there and buy a second.
Yeah. The thing I love about people who work at Bunnings as well, like you can get someone at Kmart who just does not want to be working at Kmart. You can get someone like at Officeworks, like, oh, it's just a side hustle till I get my life together. Bunnings, like Pete, they love Bunnings. That's all they want to do. Like, do I have to go home? Do we have to shut tonight? Can we just keep Bunnings open all day and I can live here? They're very passionate about it. That's the great thing about a good Bunnings worker. All right, wrap this up, Charlie. In Mount Druitt, what's your Kmart? What's the shop that you love?
There you go, Danny.
Yep, good. What can't you get enough good. Of? What do you always have to go into?
I don't mind the old fucking adult book. The old adult bookshop down there at Mount Druitt, mate. I stop in there 2 times a week.
Yeah, nice.
Have a look around. Get the appetite going, you know. My missus don't know what's going on when I get home. She's like, oh, you're a bit frosty tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. She just thinks that you've just come home after a hard day on the tools and you've worked your way up in the DVD section for a little while. Very well done.
Danny Lakey.
My mate, I mean, I do as well. Pretty much every guy I know has on their Spotify account or their Apple Music or wherever they sort of download their music from, they got a sex playlist. That's like, it's not called sex playlist. You're like, you'll label it like love or like hoochie time or something like that. And then like, if you were to bring a lady back and it was the first time you guys were to make sweet, sweet, hot, passionate love, you'd fire up that playlist and you'd start. And the trick is with a good sex playlist is that your first song isn't a sexual song. Like, you don't just get into it straight away. You don't for the first time sort of make love to someone and go, oh, hang on, just before I undo your bra, let me just put on this playlist. Like, it's too obvious. So you'll probably put like 3 or 4 songs, which is normal ambiance songs. And then the fifth one starts and triggers off like a long list of sex playlists. And by then you guys like making sweet, hot, passionate love. And it's a really good soundtrack. Like a lot of people have a sex playlist. It's a completely normal thing. And we discovered my mate's one over the holidays. It was had his Spotify open and we're going through his playlist. He's got all his party playlists and whatnot. And then he's got love and like a little water splash next. We're like, oh yeah, this is a sex playlist. So we're like, we were going through and we were laughing. We were laughing at the songs. He had a bit of this going on. Oh, that kind of lover, are ya? A real sweet, hot, passionate, deep lover. Just when you thought it couldn't get any sweeter, hotter, passionater and deeper. Oh, what are these ones? A bit of Savage Garden as well. Oh, we must really like this one. And say around the back, so towards the end, as he sort of like pull up stumps.
So honey now.
Oh, yes. One of the great lovemaking tunes. So these were in his playlist, right? And we thought, well, there are 2 options here. We can go out, like sort of like hang shit on him and tell him that those are the songs. And we just keep playing those songs all holidays and sort of give him a little bit of shit for his slightly too passionate lovemaking playlist. Or we can do the long game. We can do the slow game. And just right in the middle of his list, we'll just throw like a cat amongst the pigeons. We'll just add another song right into the middle of the playlist and not tell him about it. So that sometime down the track, like a month, 2 months, a year, whenever he next has a new sexual conquest, all of a sudden he'll be making sweet love. And then out of nowhere, he'll be like, have to do a double take and wonder what's going on. And the girl would probably, although she wouldn't realise what's going on, she'd probably pick up as well, go, it's a little bit out there for like whilst we're making love. Bit of Sweet Home Alabama. Anyway. We thought that'd be fun, and I mean, we could do that one. We could just throw in one of these ones halfway through, and that would, you could imagine him halfway just doing a little double take, sort of pausing in the style of Dog. I mean, how the hell did this get in here? Well, then, like, maybe it could be, you go a bit of Lenny, and he's approaching the session with gusto, really in his element, and then that stops, and. Oh, shit. We were brainstorming, like, what songs would be the best one to throw in there. Do we go with something like, I mean, is it just bleedingly obvious? Do we just sandwich this in between Savage Garden? And just never tell him. Bit of fun. Because you can imagine, can't you? Bit of Ed Sheeran, just living his best, sweet life. And I mean, I would never do this. This is just a hypothetical. I'm not that rude. But do we think about just going all out, like ruining? Like, stop it. That will just stop the sex. And then my mate, he came out with ways like, you know what? Nah, lads, I've got the exact one. It's a little bit abstract, but hear me. And it'll take a little bit of time to sort of, we'll probably have to make our own version and upload it to Spotify ourselves. It's a long play. It's a real long play. But do we decide to maybe hijack the playlist with us. No, no, we couldn't do that. We couldn't. Out of nowhere.
Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
I'm a Celebrity's Ash Williams gets a tick on his genitals and fears for his life.
Uh-oh. What? Call the medic. I got a tick.
Do you really?
Yep.
Oh, he doesn't like that. That's his kryptonite. That's Ash Williams' weakness. Ticks, I reckon, all over him. And very rarely, very seldom with the Danny Lakey Show talk about I'm a Celebrity, get me envy. It pretty much needs to get to a point where a parasite is on a man's genitals to consider bringing it up on the show. But that's exactly what's happened. Comedian Ash Williams is horrified when he finds a tick on his genitals, fearing for his life, as the other contestants laugh at him. Last week's episode of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here kicked off with Ash Williams frantically calling for a medic. We can hear his concern. I played it before and I'll play it again.
Uh-oh. What? Call the medic. I got a tick.
Do you really?
Yep. Oh.
God, Grant Denyer's the guy you want there in your corner during the tick. Cool heads Denyer. Make sure that he organises the medic straight away. Oh, do you really? Oh, give us a look. I heard that Grant Denyer was very curious about the tick in Ash Williams' downstairs department. So, oh yeah, give us a look. Oh, I better just check before. I mean, we don't want to just call the medic straight away. It might be a false alarm. Let me have a second opinion. After feeling like something was in his pants, the comedian took a look and to find his horror, found a tick extremely close to his genitals. Grant Denyer was quick to, oh yeah, it says here, Grant Denyer was quick to jump up to have a look. Are you serious? Can I see? Oh, he does too, says this article. Oh yeah, survey says yes. Yes, it is a tick.
No, it's just to the left, but he needs to be quick. He's getting burrowing. What do I do?
Yeah, he was freaking out.
No, he's getting deeper and deeper. Is that funny, Petty Fleur?
No, it's not funny, Petty Fleur. Come on, pull your head in. Pull your head in, Petty Fleur. There's a man here with a tick on his genitals, and all you can do is laugh. It's so Petty Fleur.
No, it's just to the left, but he needs to be quick. He's getting burrowing. What do I do?
He was freaking out.
No, he's getting deeper and deeper. Is that funny, Petty Fleur?
Oh, God, yeah. There'd be a lot of bad things about the jungle, but I think spending it with Petty Fleur's giggles would be right up there. The medic quickly got to Ash to remove the tick, but warned him that there might be more. That's the thing with ticks. They don't just hang out by themselves. They're not very independent. Usually ticks like to hang out in gangs. They're extroverts. They need other ticks around to get their kicks. They need their ticks to get their kicks on Route 66. I had a tick once when I was like in grade six. Grade six had a couple of ticks. No, one tick. We went to Yanchep National Park and I think I must have been like scurrying around in the marshes and whatnot. And then that later on that night, I was just going to bed and like, I don't know, must have been feeling my nipples for some reason and just like graced it just to the left of my left nip. And there was this like hard crusty thing. And I was like, oh no, like what's going on? Have you grown a new crusty mole or something? And I turned on the light and I screamed like the year six girl that I was, just a big tick there, sucking on my nips, having the time of its life, the parasite at the old Danny Lakey nipple buffet. I ran into my mum screaming, ah, I've got a bug on me, it won't come off. And she didn't quite know what to do either. I mean, this was back in 2000. I don't think tick science was where it is today. Like my mum had to like go ring my dad and be like, oh, what do we do with the tick? Like, I've heard you can pull it out, but you don't want to pull it out if its little legs are still in there or whatnot. Do you get a lighter? Do you light the thing off? We didn't know what to do back in the day. It was quite a traumatic experience. I think these days there must be just tick ointment. There must be. Producer Mick, do you know how to get rid of a tick? Any tick knowledge out there?
I mean, I'd be keen to see someone burn it off. Absolutely.
I think that's what they used to do. I don't know if that's still the best method, but there was definitely you used to be able to light up a tick and it would sort of scurry away. I'm not up to date with the latest medical tick issues, but it's something we'd like to hear on 133353. After ticks and tiny nuisances stories, because sometimes the tinier the animal, the more severe it can be. So ticks are always scary, that parasite stuff. Maybe go to Bali and like come back with a tapeworm or something along those lines. That's always horrible to know that you've got a worm feasting on you in there. What did that do? Some ants, some ant bites. We have any hectic ant bites on 133353. Some leeches. Oh, I'd love a good leech story. I would love to hear how a leech gets its kicks. Bugs. Lice, the whole go. Tiny animal, big nuisance. 133353. We've got any tick stories, ants, leeches, bugs, lice, of course. John in Victoria, you've experienced the thrill of the leech.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, they were unbelievable. These leeches, they were all over us. My family and I were walking near a creek, down the bottom of this creek, and then bang, they came out of nowhere. They were all over us, but there was little tiny ones, but still, they were annoying. Yeah, it was unbelievable. So I got a bit of salt and threw it all over us and took them off.
Ah, nice.
It's not funny, Petit Fleur.
No, it's not funny, Petit Fleur. So this sounds like a guy who knows exactly how to handle the leech. Did you know, yeah. You're like, in case of emergency, throw salt on leech?
Yeah, yeah, I've done it before years ago. I was in the scouts and stuff like that.
Oh, I see.
As a kid.
Yeah.
I grew up as a kid in the, yeah, all that.
Yeah. And Boy Scouts get a bad rap from time to time. Usually there's a bit of a negative reputation with the Boy Scout, but you can't take away that they know how to teach a man how to remove a leech or two.
So yeah, yeah.
Were the leeches, and forget because I'm fascinated about leeches, so the small leech, was it only small because it hadn't sucked you?
Yeah, they were really tiny, tiny, little, tiny ones, but they were all over your legs, and you're walking in thongs and stuff like that. Yeah. They're all over you. So, yeah, little small ones, tiny ones, but
yep.
Still.
Yeah, tiny, yeah. Yeah, no.
Scary.
Well, I hear you. Yeah. Well,
it's not funny, Penny Fleur.
It's not funny, Penny Fleur. And I reckon if they were on John for too much longer, they would have turned into big fat leeches. I reckon that's my leech theory tonight. Small leech means that it hasn't attached itself to a human yet. But it's John's got very viscousy blood, very aqueous blood, thin blood that would have just gone right through the leech's tummy. You got a big fat slug at the end of it. Martin in Albury. Hello, tiny animal, big nuisance.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, blissful. What's the story?
We know this bloke in Albury, and he was trying to pick up a barmaid at the Astor Hotel many a time, and he tried everything. He tried to influence her that he had lots of money, he tried this, he tried that. So then he went for the sympathy vote. He actually told her that he had a wart on the end of his dick.
Is that funny, Petit Fleur?
That's not funny at all, Petit Fleur. But so
he had a wart on his dick, and then he was known as Wart Dick all around Albury and got barred from 3 pubs by it.
Yeah, well, you can't be letting warty dicks into pubs. Like, that's just responsible service of alcohol 101.
Yeah, it's wrong.
It's terrible. I mean, I'm struggling to see how it ties into the ticks, ants, leeches, bugs, lice conversation, but I always appreciate you spreading the good gospel of warty penis throughout Albury. It's good to be aware. Bit of Albury awareness, sure.
Yes, yes, yes. So there you go.
Yes.
Is that funny, Petit Fleur?
Steve in Newcastle. 133353. Little animal, big nuisance.
How you going, mate?
Good, thank you. What happened? You had a tapeworm.
No, had a mate went to Asia, come back, he was at work, going to take a dump, and as his wife in his ass, he's gone off. What's that? He felt something there, and you know that wasn't normal. So he's bent down and had a look, and he had this like bit of like a pencil hanging out his ass. And he went to touch it, and it just stuck back up his ass.
No,
he's come running out into the kitchen where all the boys are, and he's going, "I've got an alien up my ass! I've got an alien up my ass! Get me to the hospital!"
Surely.
And I was going, well, what do you think about it? He goes, mate, there's something alive living in my ass.
Oh, my God.
They took him to the hospital. They said, mate, you've got a tapeworm. You've been to Asia. Take this medication. And apparently he was supposed to sift through what come out and try to find the head, because I think the story goes that the eggs are in the head or something like that. And he goes, there's no way I'll sift through my shit to find a tapeworm's head. So, But anyway, he got rid of it.
One of the great stories, and I have heard that. I mean, if you get 99% of the tapeworm out, but the head's still up there, I mean, you've got another 10 tapeworms by Friday. That's one of the great things.
Well, there you go. Yeah, busted through them.
Oh, God, he should have grabbed it at the time. I mean, imagine if
I pulled it out and just come in and thrown it on the table. That would have been good. Breakfast time.
One of the great games of tug of war with your own butthole. But anyway, that's the thrill of the tapeworm, isn't it? Good stories.
Is that funny, Petit Fleur?
That's not funny, Petit Fleur. Seriously.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Ice cream tests positive for coronavirus. Ice cream's been found to have been contaminated with COVID-19 after 3 samples tested positive for the virus. Just when you thought we were at a new normal, just when you thought we were on top of it all, it's one whack after another. Initial epidemiological investigations indicate the company produced the batch of ice cream using raw materials, including milk powder imported from New Zealand and whey powder imported from Ukraine. Well, I don't mean to cast aspersions, but I think I'm going to hedge my bets that it might be the Ukrainian whey powder that infected the ice cream rather than the milk powder from New Zealand. They've done very well this year and last year, keeping on top of the outbreak. Dr. Stephen Griffin, a virologist based at the University of Leeds, told Sky News, it's likely this has come from a person. And without knowing the details, I think it's probably a one-off, he said. Well, look, that's comforting, but it's still concerning. As we go to air tonight, 6 new cases of coronavirus in the past 24 hours, 2 of which are returned. Travellers in hotel quarantine with 1 case linked to the Barilla cluster, but it's the 3 tubs of ice cream that have tested positive that has health authorities most concerned.
Contact traces scrambling.
Yes, we can confirm multiple batches of very tasty raspberry ripple vanilla ice cream has tested positive for COVID-19.
A creamy cluster with no known source, with summer plans put on hold.
It's incredibly concerning. All tubs of ice cream will be required to quarantine at home in freezers for 14 days.
An industry and country on high alert.
We have identified 7 spoons who were close contacts and a further 7 bowls that have also been identified as high risk, and we'll know the outcome of those swab tests in the next 24 to 48 hours.
But it's one knife that has the health minister on edge.
We are aware that a knife was at the same table as one of the spoons. This was a butter knife, and we are highly concerned this knife has the potential to be a super spreader.
Anyone who is showing symptoms of a cough, fever, or a brain freeze is encouraged to come forward for testing. In the meantime, the advice is clear.
Anyone planning to eat ice cream must wear a mask.
But Minister, are you not concerned that that will be blocking a clear pathway to the mouth and will just make a big mess?
Yes, it would appear that way at this stage.
Because it's like a press conference about people, but it was ice cream instead.
Daddy Likey. Triple M.